Hafaday, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
He was a nobody. God used David because he realized that I've got to rely on my God and who he is. I don't have to get insecure. I don't have to get fearful.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Herron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Herron with today's message.
Pearl Buck made the statement, if you want to understand today, you must search yesterday. The reason why God gave us the Old Testament was to illustrate what we have in the New Testament is truth. It was given to us for our admonition. Do you remember? And we talked about last week the life of David. And today we'll look at the beginning events that led to the introduction of a man named David. There's four observations I want to make. And if you have your Bibles, open to 1 Samuel chapter 9, because you end up finding the beginnings of a story that I'd like to give you in basically four observations. The first three are really out of the narrative events that lead to David's life in the introduction in 1 Samuel 9 to 1 Samuel 16. I'm just going to touch on some highlights and some verses, so stay with me. Make some observations. I hope it'll be of a help to you today. If you're taking notes, jot down, first of all, that notice when man panics, that God will provide. You say, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, let me fill in some history for you here. It's fascinating because you end up finding that Israel selected a king, basically, for his outward appearance. You end up finding three basic characters that will unfold and remain as key players in God's plot. These three are the life of Saul in the failures you will see, in the life of Samuel, who these books are named after, who's really the prophet, and then you find the son of Jesse's faithfulness. That's David. Saying all this is preface to a story that I want you to stay with, because there's where you end up finding that when man panics, God provides. Man panics, God will provide. Number two, you'll end up finding as well that you've got to be patient in that. But number two, when man forgets, God will remember. And the point is, you've got to be aware, because when man does forget, God's going to remember. That's what you're finding when Samuel obeys the Lord. He arrives in Bethlehem, creates this huge stir. Since David was the only person in Scripture whose epitaph reads, a man after God's own heart, you think he's a Superman. But the fact is, he's not. He doesn't have the Atlas physique or the Einstein intellect, as Paul told the believers at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 1, when he said, don't look on the outward. Observation number three, when man searches, God will reveal. Don't just be patient and be aware, but be usable, because this is where you find that in man searching for someone to meet the needs, God does reveal his man. You end up finding the observation here that when man begins to search, God knows it's time to unveil my man, David. And the unfolding of David, the coming of age of David at a young age, becomes the time in which, for you and I today, there's lessons to be learned. We'll look at chapter 17, when the story of David and Goliath really is the unfolding of an event in which God chose a man and solved a problem for a nation and elevated our man David. But at this young age, probably mid to late teens, you find David now just being willing to be usable and obedient. Now, what does that say to us today? Let me give you these three practical observations, and we'll close with this, because really, just reading all this is helpful. The fact is, when God speaks, we should listen. What is God trying to say in this? Let me give you these three application points. Bullet point number one, that is that God's provisions are often sudden, and they're satisfying. You say, what do I take from this passage? You can take a lot of lessons, but let me give you a few. That is when God's provisions are often sudden and satisfying. And that is, as well, that when God's solutions are often strange and simple, you've got to be open. Both of those illustrate what I think in the New Testament, if you want to jot down a cross-reference, you can jot down Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Paul said it this way, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let requests be made known unto God. You know what he's saying in all of that? He's saying, as he does in Philippians 4, 7 to 8, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know what? When God's solutions are often strange and simple, you've got to be open. You know what he's saying through that? Meditate on God's word. That's, he says, think on these things. When you have events that are going on, as tumultuous as it was for Saul and ultimately with David, who was just being obedient, he was saying, I'm going to see God in your solutions and your provisions be in a place that I'm going to end up meditating on your word. And as Philippians 4, 6 says, be careful for nothing, everything by prayer and supplication. I'm going to roll around God's word in my mind. We've said it often. But you can be anxious and worry about your problems as much as Samuel did and who's going to be the king, or Saul and his insecurity and wondering what people are thinking about, or even the life of David and the small shepherd boy that realized that that time of meditation with his God, that time of prayer to that God the Father, became the very points in which David himself was used in a great way. He was a nobody. God used David because he realized that I've got to rely on my God and who he is. I don't have to get insecure. I don't have to get fearful. How many times for you over this last week, you had something come up and there was nothing you could do? Or you wanted to do something, but it was without your power to do so? Or there was some constant plaguing of some problem that you have let capture your own mind and you try to go to sleep at night and you can't because that's rolling around and around in your mind. That's called worry. But that same event and activity that you take called meditation and prayer is rather than rolling a problem around and around in your mind, you say, God, I'm going to take your promises. I'm going to meditate on your word and roll that around in my mind. That's called meditation. And when you do that, a simple third application with this we close, that God's selections are sovereign and they are sure. In other words, you can be secure. You can rest confidently. Philippians 4, 6, 4, 6, 7, and 8, and Philippians 4, 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned, in whatever state I am, therewith be content. I can be content. Yeah, but you don't know, I need this job. I need this money. I need this situation. And you say, God, I'm trusting you. You say, what does that mean? That means as it was to David, as one person adequately and wisely said, I believe God's responsible for everything that happens to me. And yet I'm responsible for everything that I do. You get in a place to realize, God, you're responsible for everything that happens to me. But I'm responsible for everything that I do. So I can't just thrust this off and say, God, this is your problem. I don't have to do anything. No, you say, God, I trust you that everything will be Father filtered. He's our Father. Everything comes through his hand. Nothing passes into your life without your Father. If you're genuinely born again and you can call him your Father, then you can realize that, God, you do know. And I can be in a place then to be secure to know that all this is going to work together for good. Listen, if you're a humanist, then it's luck. If you're a pantheist, then it's fate. But if you're a Christian that believes the Bible, then you realize, God, this is providentially driven by you. Because the providio, providence, the seeing before an event happens that only God can do, because he's not bound by time or space or matter. He knew this was written. He already had it written. Please don't let that into becoming a straitjacket for your mind, in which now I don't have to do anything, but become a security blanket for you to say, God, thank you so much that all that will be done for your purposes. In closing, among other reasons, I think God put this into Scripture because he knew that his very son, Jesus Christ, had so many similarities in the likeness of a David that was also a shepherd, as Jesus was. From Bethlehem, he was born, so Jesus was. So as a low of state, so Jesus was. Both oppressed unjustly, and they opened not their mouths, and both became kings. David, the king of Israel, and Christ himself, the king of kings, the Lord of lords. And you will not be able to make sense of your life, my friend. No more than Saul, who looked back and realized over in this short tenure that we looked at, of Saul, who was a nobody, that found out he's going to get picked as king and hid out into the baggage, and eventually they grabbed him, and God did have his hand on him, to the point in which he began to be more worried about himself than is God. And those are the times for your life and my life when we get the place to start thinking, God, I can manipulate, I can control, I'm concerned about what people are thinking about me. Those are all signs of insecurity as it's the life of us all. Rather than David to say, God, you're going to provide, you're going to give, you're going to use all of those events. That just as David became a simple picture of who our Christ is, so your life today, decisions you make, what if your life was documented? What would they be saying about you? Be making wise choices from a heart after God? And the only person that can change that heart is Jesus Christ. You can call Him your Father when you end up entering His family through the blood of Jesus Christ. You say, well, isn't He the Father of all? Bad theology. He's not the Father of all. He is the Creator of all. He's not the Father of all. He created rats. Is He the Father of rats? He's the Father of His children, and you're accepted by Him. In Galatians, as He says, you are accepted through the very blood of Jesus Christ. He becomes your Father. And I'm so thankful for the picture of who Christ is through His very sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. Why did He come? He came so that you would end up becoming one of His own. He doesn't want you to be as that Saul who was literally the word terrorized. He wants you to be in a place to say, God, I trust you by faith. Everything that comes into my life is to be Father filtered. As you see the beginnings of David and Saul and Samuel, you end up finding the character studies that eventually be intertwined as we look forward to the life of a shepherd Saul, because he was a nobody that nobody noticed. You might be that same one today. I trust that as you open up God's Word, the power of His Word and the stories that are told are more than just stories. They're orchestrated by God Himself. And this most reliable, accurate historical book that doesn't just give us a story for the sake of a story to read at bedtime, but Jesus Christ Himself as a young boy raised by a godly mother, reading the stories of the Old Testament are the same stories that you're reading today, and realizing that those stories tell us about who David's God is. You see, listen, when man panics, God, He will provide for you. So don't panic. Be patient. When you end up finding that when God puts you in a place, a pressure, when man does forget, God will remember. That when man begins to search, God will reveal. And that's why when He speaks, we want to listen and obey. Listen, as a father and a child, we have responsibilities. As a child, we have responsibility to obey trustingly. And as a parent, parents will have responsibility to love. And that's why Jesus Himself knew and called out to His own Father and told us, like as a father pitieth his children, the Lord pities them that fear Him. And that as a father unto you, He will be your sons and your daughters, says the Lord Almighty. You know Him as your Father, not just as a creator, but as your Father. Have you ever been a time in life you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior? You've had people talk to you about Him. You've heard the gospel, but it's made no sense. If you're listening by way of radio and internet, I'd encourage you. End up trusting Him as your Savior. That is the beginning of life, my friend. As we've mentioned many times, that the reality of life is that it will not make any sense without Christ, without God.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.